Often vulgar, always explicit, and sometimes funny.
Slap box. Slap box.
Welcome to the Slapbox Podcast. This is episode 680. I'm your host, Josh Albrecht, recording once again inside the Slapbox penthouse. My trusty sidekick, Agent Fox Mulder, the three-legged kitty cat, is, I guess, not near me at the moment. I'm looking around. I'm spying. I don't see him. Guessing he must be chilling out downstairs, soaking in some suns while the sun's still out. He's got to take that in because, you know, it's starting to get darker earlier. We're getting closer to October, you know. It's like September is, as I'm recording this, like 2 days away. It's a holiday weekend. I've got, this is my first of 3 days off. That feels like an eternity since I've had that many days off sequentially. I guess since the last holiday. And, I guess when I took off for that concert, I had 3 days off. But that was there a holiday in between there? Shit, I don't remember. I don't remember exactly when that was. That was like May. Was that before or after Memorial Day? Hell, maybe it was, I think it was May, not June. I don't remember. So I guess maybe Memorial Day was the last. I'm a dipshit. Yeah. You know, 4th of July weekend. Yeah, I guess I had 3 days off for that one. So I guess that was the last time. I got to remember how calendars work. It's I should really look into that. An update from last week. I had talked about The Shining, that is. And I'm an idiot, too. I should mention last week I was talking about I'd forgotten that the inside shots of the Overlook Hotel were not of Timberline Lodge. Like, that's the outside shots. The inside shots are from the Stanley Hotel in Colorado. That's where I was, I don't know. I just went brain dead that day, which as I'm getting older here, it's just like shit's leaking out of my brain. Like, memories and such. And my friends, when we had the third Thursday, had mentioned the Stanley Hotel. And, you know, you would think that my brain would associate the Stanley Hotel with The Shining, since Stanley Kubrick was, of course, the director of The Shining. But yet, no, I blanked that day and forgot about the Stanley Hotel. And fun fact, yeah, that hotel also very expensive to stay in. I did looked up the price of the Stanley Hotel, and it's fucking expensive. It is fucking expensive. They do Shining tours there. I'm a little out of sorts today, too, as, you know, again, I've been working a lot. I'll blame it on that. And I'm also trying to cut back on the caffeine a bit, although I had a Red Bull not too long before starting this, because I was having a caffeine headache. And, you know, one way to get rid of that is have more caffeine. So I caved to that. I'm trying to, like, wean myself off it this time as opposed to last time I did it. I just went cold turkey, and I had, like, over a month where it was just, like, caffeine headaches. Just fucking, it was just brutal. I was popping back Tylenol like they were fucking Chiclets or Tic Tacs, you know, just, like, popping them in. And, yeah, this time I went with a different route. I stopped doing the Monster. So there's no Monster inside me currently. I'm more of a sweet guy now. But I went down to Red Bull, which isn't quite as powerful. It doesn't pack quite as punch. It's a smaller can that I've been going with. So there's just less of the drinking period. But doesn't, you know, fuel me quite as much as a Monster does. But I feel like it's not destroying my body quite as much. That shit really fucks me up. Like, I've been doing it, you know, every day, with the exception of, like, the weekends, for quite some time again. Even though I managed to have a couple of months where I was, like, you know, completely off caffeine. And, you know, it what always ends up happening is I get a little sick. And I need a little help, you know, trying to go back to work. You know, I had wasn't feeling well, and I was like, "Fuck, I gotta kick myself in the ass here to be able to like get through work." So, and then I'm right back into the mix. I'm like right back at it. Which I guess it's good that I know that it's good that I've never tried like cocaine or meth because. I struggle with caffeine usage, so anyway, I'm trying to taper down. I'm going with the Red Bull now, which has, I'm pretty sure, less caffeine. Well, I mean, it's a smaller can of energy drink to begin with, and then I figured when I go to the store on tomorrow, Sunday, that I will get an even smaller can of Red Bull and just kind of try to phase myself out slowly to get to wean it out. Hopefully the headaches don't get too terrible, though I already caved today. Although I was kind of planning on taking a Red Bull anyway before I recorded this. So, I mean, did I cave? I didn't promise myself that I wouldn't have caffeine today. But I'm trying to get it out of the system before, because from today, I have 4 weeks before I go back to Germany, and I don't want to have to fucking crush an energy drink every few hours to avoid a headache, because that's going to make vacation, you know, a little miserable. I want to be on my A game, and so I'm trying to, like, at least get it to a point where I can deal with suffice with a little caffeine a day, you know, just a little hit, little bump of caffeine. Just wet the tongue a little bit, maybe spread some on the gums. Just a bump. We'll see how that goes. I don't know. Caffeine headaches are fucking terrible, man. I don't know how anybody, you know, ever gets off really hardcore drugs. Much respect to anybody that's like kicked heroin or anything like that. That is just kicking caffeine. I'm like, man, well, fuck this. Just put it right in my main vein here. Get that monster inside me as quick as possible. Just because I hate headaches, man, the headaches are fucking terrible. I'm not typically a person that gets a whole lot of headaches, so the only way, maybe I'm a pussy when it comes to that, is yeah, I don't know, but a wuss is maybe a more appropriate term. Anyway, I feel like, though, you know, as I've gotten older, the headaches from that have gotten worse, because I've had bouts throughout my adult life with caffeine. As this isn't my first run in becoming a steel worker with massive amounts of caffeine. Although this is, well, I don't know. I was thinking, like, when I went to school at the broadcast center, I was doing like a Red Bull each night before going up there. And then when I worked at the radio station, which the Red Bull, I went with a smaller can, if I remember correctly. So it wasn't like an obscene amount of caffeine that I was taking on a daily basis, but it was a fair amount, because I wasn't sleeping and I needed a little kick in the ass. And I was in my 20s then, so I didn't need as much of a kick in the ass as I do now to get myself moving. But I definitely need a bigger dose now. But I remember, you know, I went to school at the broadcast center for a year, and then I worked the radio station for a year, the next year after that, for like a full year. And I graduated to 5-hour energy. I don't recall when I stopped working the radio station. What I don't, you know, I don't remember if I took it every. Of course, I wasn't going to the radio station necessarily every single night. That might have been what saved me there. There was some period of time. There was some periods where I was going like 5 nights a week. I remember there being 1 week where I worked all 7 days at Magnet, and then it just so happened, which was a rarity. I had maybe did that 3 or 4 times the entire time that I worked there for the 21 years. But that particular week that they scheduled us for 7 days, mandatory. I mean, I would not have volunteered for that. That's for sure. But I should have just called in. I'm pretty sure at the time I didn't need the money. So like I should have said, fuck you guys. I'm not coming in. But I didn't. I worked all 7 days, and then it just so happened to be the week of the I'm blanking on the county fair that there was it. Anyway, there was a fair at the that the radio station was doing remotes at each day that week, and I worked all 7 days at the radio station and at Magnet. Thankfully, though, the Saturday and Sunday I worked at Magnet, it was only 8-hour shifts as opposed to the rest of the week. It was 10-hour shifts. So I was doing, during the week, 10 hours at a factory, then driving 45 minutes to a radio station and, you know, being there for several hours. And then going, it was like 3 or 4 hours. I guess about 4 hours, I think, was the nights that I was doing there. And then I would go drive another 45 minutes to get back home, get no sleep, then repeat, mix, you know, rinse and repeat the next day. And yeah, I really don't remember what the what it was like coming down off 500 energies after that. Because, but again, I wasn't doing it every day, just, but there was periods where I was doing it every day. Whereas opposed to like now, I've been doing monsters like every day, unless I don't work, you know, on my days off, like, which is often now just Sundays. I'm not doing caffeine at all on Sundays. Saturday, if I'm off work, I'll take a smaller Red Bull, just a little bit of caffeine, just to do the podcast, because otherwise I'm like drooling on myself and passing out. It's a tough one. I did try earlier before I did the Red Bull. I was like, you know what? I'll just try to take a nap and see if that helps things. It did not. It made it worse. So I'm like, all right, let's feed the beast. Let's get a Red Bull and just cave in. Just allow the drug to take over my body. To make me feel right. Anyway. But I did get my haircut today, and that was fun. I always enjoy a good haircut. I've lost a lot of hair. You know, it's very noticeable bald spot on the top. So I wear hats very often, but I enjoy it. I don't want to shave it because I've talked about this many times, but that's a lot of work, man. That's a lot of work. My head is not smooth. There is like divots inside there, like somebody went whacking away with a golf club or something. And it is just difficult to get the hair out of there. And it's a lot of work, even, you know, to keep up with that, like every day to like shave it. Like, fuck all that. And then also, I just really enjoy getting a haircut. The conversation, the relaxation of, there's something very relaxing to get my haircut. And then the hot towel afterwards. Followed by the, you know, going to the Sport Clips, you get the MVP treatment. As I just want to mention, not a sponsor. Sport Clips, not a sponsor. But yeah, I enjoy getting my hair cut there, and the hot towel, man, that's very relaxing. Having somebody shampoo your hair, hot towel. I think I talked about it a few weeks ago or a month or so ago. Fuck, I don't know. Time is. I feel like I'm unstuck from it at the moment. Everything's just all happening at once. My whole life. It's just one big. I'm a regular Billy Pilgrim over here. I would talked about getting the cutthroat shave like right before I leave. Which I may or may not do. It depends on how much time I have. I'll have to make an appointment. I guess to Dapper Bully, that seems to be about the best place to do it here in Washington. But I figured I'd get a cutthroat shave because it's a nice smooth shave and I didn't want to have to shave while I was in Germany. So get a nice one done so I'm all clean cut, ready to slap on some Lederhosen, go to Deutschland and get my Oktoberfest on. But yeah, I'll make sure at least to go to Sport Clips though to get the cut. They don't unfortunately do the cutthroat shave. The girl that's cut my hair the last couple times, Ashley, she had mentioned, I believe she's epileptic. I can't speak. I'm having a lisp all of a sudden. Anyway, that she was like, I don't know if it would be a good idea for me to do that. but I like to live close. You know, I'm a fan of living on the dangerous side at times. So, you know, if she wants to try it, maybe. No. Again, I've only had that happen or done that one time. Like, I've used a straight razor on myself, but as several times, I'm not very good with it. Not very good at all with it. It is so much easier to just use a fucking regular, like, I've been using the electric razor and then just kind of getting a little bit, cleaning it up a little bit with the normal, you know, razor, the Gillette Mach 5 or whatever the fuck it is. Yeah, the time I had it done in Ireland, it was a lady that did it and, didn't say a word, which is weird because one of the things I love about going and get my haircut is the conversation. You get a good somebody that's like, you know, you're having a great conversation with. A little hard to do that when somebody's got a razor blade to your fucking throat. Which I guess I'm glad the woman did not spark a conversation with me. But it did concern me that, like, is she having an all right day? Is she, I mean, she has literally has like my life in her hands. I mean, she could just like, she's a couple inches away from ending my life here with this razor blade. I'm just like, hey, hopefully I don't, look like anybody that she doesn't like, you know, remind her of an ex or something that, wronged her or who knows? Just, I had a certain, maybe I had a certain smell that day, you know, and it could have just put her off. You never know. Anything could set people off. You just don't know what that, that trigger could be. And next thing you know, they're Jack Torrance in The Shining and, breaking through your door. Anyway, the, update I was going to give, the real update, not about the Stanley Hotel, it was about The Shining, which me just bringing up Jack Torrance, which I have Shining wallpapers like pulled up on DeviantArt. It's kind of why I'm thinking about it. But anyway, the update I wanted to give, I had talked about doing, or I'd mentioned I'd ordered the Overlook Hotel wallpaper of the red, black, and orange, which I thought would look really great with my... I thought it would look really good, of course, with I'm trying to look at... while I'm speaking, I'm just looking up Google Earth. Just look at Munich real quick. Anyway, I had looked, I ordered the wallpaper and it came in and I think I ordered it pretty late at night. And for me, it's just not a great thing for me to figure out measurements and shit at nighttime. And I guess I had looked at it and thought feet instead of inches again. For some reason, I saw the one. Like, instead of the two dots, there's the one. Anyway, or it was in feet and not inches. It was in inches and not feet that you ordered the wallpaper by. Had I realized this, because it was very, you know, that's a massive difference between feet and inches. And had I ordered that in feet, I would have had plenty of wallpaper to cover, but with the wallpaper that I ordered, it was basically their smallest thing of wallpaper, which I thought, you know, would cover. I got to stop doing stuff when I'm so tired and late at night and thinking about that. Anyway, yeah, it wouldn't cover. And thankfully, I didn't order the right amount because, you know what, I'm not happy with the wallpaper itself. I don't think it's going to look real hot if I put it above there. And I thought before even getting the wallpaper, like, maybe the best option is the paint. That's going to be a real pain in the ass, though. You know, that's quite the design to paint on there. I've discovered and talked about for the last several months about how much I've really come to hate painting. Not that I was a fan of it before, but after painting so much downstairs, yeah, I could do without it. But seeing that wallpaper, and I really had it in my head as, after watching The Shining and Dr. Sleep, and just like the I just think above my cabinets there in the kitchen and in the dining room above the door would look really great with that fucking pattern on it. And I have the Overlook Hotel keychain or key rack, sorry. That's a 3D woodcut deal, and they painted that, and that looks really good. I'm like, shit, it would look so much better if I just fucking painted it. And so I did think about using the small a bit of wallpaper I had, and then just using it for like you can order, of course, the axe that Jack Nicholson uses in The Shining, or Jack Torrance's character. You can get that. You can get a cheaper one off of Amazon, or you can get, you know, one that looks more closer to the film and, you know, spend an arm and a leg. but I thought about getting that as a prop, perhaps, and then a display case for it. And inside the display case, like, put that wallpaper in the back of it. But I don't know. We'll see about that. That's something for a future project, possibly. But I have that. I mean, I can do something with the wallpaper. I'm not going to just, like, throw it out. It was pretty pricey. We don't need to know how much. But, yeah, I don't think it would look real great to cover the walls in that. I did order a stencil off Etsy that has that pattern on it. So what the idea is, I'm going to be using that stencil and moving it across the wall to put the design on the wall. And so then there, I can just paint it, as I do have red already on the wall. So the red spots, I, you know, theoretically shouldn't have to paint. Just had to paint the black and the orange. So I'll have to get some orange paint, which I was going to do earlier. I stopped at Lowe's and I was going to get it then. I did find what orange I wanted, so I know what orange going to go with, but they were fucking packed. I'm assuming everybody is just like, it's a holiday weekend, I get an extra day off, let's do some work on the house. And you know what, I didn't have much time because I was going to get my hair cut, and I was just like, okay, fuck this. They're mixing a lot of paint. I am not waiting around here for fucking 30-45 minutes. Let's I guess I'm usually pretty lucky about what time I head over to Lowe's, because most of the time I go over there, man. It's it is right there at the the time that it's not busy, which I think most of the time I'm there on Sundays, like earlier on Sundays. Which I figure it's probably best for me to head over there tomorrow. Monday, they're probably closed for the holiday, but I figure go over there tomorrow and then head over, you know, right before I go to the store. you know, we'll see what happens. I think I got a little while before I get that stencil in. It was coming from the UK. I did a Google search to see what all places had a stencil for. The only place I saw that made a stencil for that, I didn't like dig real deep, but it was this place that in the UK, which you can order it straight from their website, or you can go on Etsy, where I just went and got on Etsy, since I fucking order everything on fucking Etsy. But, oh man, I'm looking at flying through Google Earth, Munich here, as I'm just, perusing and talking at the same time. Anyway, I will probably regret, deciding to paint that on the wall, but I think it's going to look great. I figure, you know, I've got plenty of black paint still to paint that design on there. I just think, you know, I've been talking about it since, I don't know, for at least a month, about how I needed to do something a little bit more with that kitchen and dining room area. And I think that's going to really, I think it's going to pop, man. I think it's, I just, when I ordered that wallpaper, I guess I got it in my head that I'm like, this is, we're going to do this. We're going to put this design in there, and just, I think it's going to just see, you know, I don't think I'm ever going to get done with this project. I think I'm going to be constantly adding shit to it. It's a never ending process. It all just started from just getting that damn couch or sofa, whatever it's technically considered. But ever since getting that, it is just, you know, realizing like, oh, well, let's get a bigger TV and yada, yada. It's all just one big, like, cause you know, I had to get the TV then to, the TV turned into like a 100-inch TV is just going to be too much of a pain in the ass. And that, I would have to, also, you know, it just mounting that yada, yada. I've talked about it many times. It led to me getting the projector, and then that led to getting everything else. I had to, of course, paint the walls. It's real, you know, just nonstop with all that stuff. As, I'm ready for vacation. I think that's where I'm at. I'm ready to stop painting for a little while and just enjoy just being a stranger in a strange land. I have been practicing my German a little bit, not as much as I should, but I've been doing a little bit. Ich verstehe ein bisschen Deutsch, you know, yeah, yeah. I went back to watching the German show Dark on Netflix, which is, if you know, it's a dark science fiction type show. It's starts out kind of like Stranger Things, as there's a kid that goes missing in the beginning under strange circumstances. But I would say it's darker than, like the title insists, than Stranger Things. It has got a very dark vibe. And it's worth a watch. You know, it's a good show. There's like four seasons, I think. I did go back and watch the last season of Babylon Berlin, which is also a German show that was on Netflix. It's not on Netflix anymore. I had bought the season, though, the fourth season on Amazon Prime. And I got to say, the fourth season, not as good as like the first couple seasons. Like the first two seasons, I thought were really good. Three was like, all right. They made some weird decisions in the fourth season. The main character, main protagonist, shit. His name, now shit. My brain's going to stop working. It's a big German name. Or not big, but Volker Bruch is the actor's name. This character's name is Gerion Rath. Oh yeah, Gerion. It's not a terribly big name. It's just very German. Gerion. His his character starts out that season a little weird. Spoiler alert, if you're going to watch Babylon Berlin. he is who would, you know, before season four, definitely seemed like, hey, he was not a Nazi in any way, shape, or form. Because it is, starts out like 1920s Berlin. You know, this is like as the Nazi party is like rising. And at the start of season four, he's all of a sudden a Nazi, which I'd figured because he is a detective. I figured maybe this is some sort of undercover thing he's doing to get in the ranks and figure out what the Nazis were up to. But it definitely, you know, all of a sudden he's just a Nazi. And you know, they don't tell you right away that it's an undercover thing. But, you know, you do find out, spoiler alert, that he's not a Nazi. I was like, this show is taking a very weird turn. Because the first season, maybe even two seasons, Nazis weren't involved at all. I think it was the third season where you really start seeing Nazis around. And then there's this this moment where the brown shirts, the SA, end up assassinating this one Jewish guy. So you start seeing more and more of it. But, I mean, the fourth season, I guess, has moments, but it is some weird stuff. Like, I feel like they kind of jumped the shark a little bit. But, I mean, obviously the Nazis need to be a part of it. That's what's going on in Berlin at that time. But I don't know. It just, I feel like the first season, like, I felt like it was going somewhere. You know, the first, like, two seasons, it felt like it was leading somewhere else. I don't know. Very strange. It's a good show, though. It's a good show. And if, you know, you're trying to learn German, you want some good German shows to watch. And it's worth a watch. If you're trying to learn some German, pull up Babylon Berlin. I know that, you know, you can get it off Amazon Prime. I think there was, I don't know what, I think you get it with some sort of membership. I had to pay for it to watch it off of Amazon Prime. But there was some, I don't know, it was AMC or, I don't know, one of those. If you had a membership to it, you can just watch it for free. I don't recall what it was. Maybe it's Paramount. I don't fucking know. But Dark, if you have Netflix, that one's a solid one. Two shows that have very large budgets and are shot very well. The cinematography, wow, just fantastic. And the acting, they got some great actors in it. I feel like it's just good for me to watch that stuff so I can just get used to at least hearing people speak German. And maybe I'll remember a few of the words here and there. I've been doing the Rosetta Stone app, which I paid for like 3 months worth. And I got to say, I prefer Babel, however you pronounce it. I wish I would have just paid for that. But I was just like, let's try something new. I'd done Duolingo. Duolingo is fucking annoying. I don't feel like Duolingo, the way it's set up, that I really learned much from it, honestly. And it just pesters me all the time. Ooh, you got to make sure to do your lesson for today and all that shit. And like, you spent days away. It's like, like, fuck off, Duolingo. And but Babbel, I don't know, the way it's set up, I seem to grasp onto that a little bit better. And just seemed, I picked up on it so much better doing that. And I regret now that I paid the money for doing the Rosetta Stone, which if I just would have saved that money, I could have just paid. They have the lifetime thing for Babbel. It was like $175 right now this weekend, which is a lot of money, especially if I'm just going to use it for a couple of weeks. Not worth the money. I'm going to use it for a couple of weeks, but I didn't spend quite that much. I know I spent some money on the Rosetta Stone, but I really feel like I really feel like I you know, I could have done a little bit, but I would have done better had I gone Babel. But I was just like, let's try something new. Maybe Rosetta Stone's the way to go. For me, it's just not. It's, I don't know. I feel like the lessons were way better, and just I learned more with the old Babel. But I'm prone to make mistakes. I order the wallpaper that I decide looks like shit. Really, I just don't like the finish on that. There's a I prefer, you know, the look of actual paint on there. So there's that. Yeah. Other than that, I mean, I've been, I of course still been watching other stuff. I did pull up, I attempted to watch, first Daniel Craig James Bond movie, Casino Royale, and I again been working way too much and had a rough time staying awake for that one. I ended up passing out and did not get very far, unfortunately, with that. As you know, I'll finish that here probably in the next few days. But before that, I did go back and watch Big Fish, which I remember seeing that film in the theater when it came out, which was 2003 or 2004. I want to say I looked it up the other day and it said 2003. But it's a Tim Burton classic film that stars Ewan McGregor. Jessica Lange plays his mother. Albert Finney plays his father. Well, Ewan McGregor is, I guess, Albert Finney's character. He's just at a younger age. But what the fuck is his name? Just the main... the main actor is god damn it, which he's not. I would say Ewan McGregor is the main. Yeah, 2003 is when it came out. Billy Crudup, without even pulling it up, I remember now, like Billy Crudup. It hadn't loaded it up yet, but Billy Crudup is the son of Albert Finney / Ewan McGregor. Edward Bloom is, of course, the Ewan McGregor's character, and it's a great little film. And I remember watching that, and then I decided to try to, I think before I had attempted to write a screenplay. I've yet to ever finish a full screenplay, but that was one of the times I was like, hell yeah, let's fucking write a movie after that. And yeah, I didn't finish it. I thought maybe if I watch it again, I've got the new final draft, like, let's maybe try to write something. So far, I have not gotten around to that. I've been just, again, trying to get through work. And like, I'm more focused on vacation at this point. But, you know, if I get a good idea, that's the big crux of it all. Although I feel like I should just start writing, you know, forcing myself to write. And then I could, you know, potentially get something... find some way better there to do shit. Anyway, I don't know what the fuck I'm saying. Just force myself to write anything, even if it's a bad idea. I can come up with something. You know, I have good ideas for scenes, but I don't have an overarching story for things and something to really combine it all together and what have you. It's really a pie in the sky thing, you know. Writing a screenplay and expect to make money off of it. I highly doubt that I would write a blockbuster, but to be able to just like sell a screenplay and make a money off of it, like even just a little bit, if it's some, you know, little thing that never even actually gets made, but just to make a little bit of money and that way I can say that, you know, I was paid as a writer would be pretty fantastic. You know, from what I understand that there's just, you know, once upon a time, which I guess wasn't that long ago, like everybody had a screenplay they were working on. Nowadays, there's still people writing screenplays and such, but a lot of the people that would have attempted to do so are, you know, going different routes with their creative endeavors, I guess you would call it. But they're opting for, you know, YouTube videos, which are far easier to make than, you know, feature films. It is very much, I mean, it's way easier to, you know, come up with YouTube videos or just, you know, be a social media influencer, if you will, making content for that. It is, you know, if you're doing TikTok or what, YouTube, TikTok, what have you, whatever the kids apps are into these days. Way easier to do it via that way than just writing a movie and then having it made. It is, you know, most screenplays, even if they're bought, don't ever get made. And so it's tough to get, as I'm saying this as someone that's never even finished a screenplay, much less even attempted to have one sold. So, but from what I gather through the my research through the years, is that it can be very difficult get you know, shit like that made. I mean, it is even when a movie studio you know, purchases your screenplay, it's not guaranteed that it's going to be turned into a film. I believe even now it's like even harder to do so as far as like getting shit made, because there's, it used to be you just attach the way you got a movie made is you attach a star to it. You get a big name, and then like once they're on board, they want to do it, then it's like you start getting more things greenlit. Like then they're like, all right, we can give you the funding. We can actually start shooting this thing. And some movies, when they get purchased, the screenplays, I mean, it could be 10, 20 years before they make a fucking film out of it. And there's... but there's just a lot of, there's no guarantees as far as that concerned. But the point I was trying to get to is that I think there, from what I understand, there's less people writing screenplays now than there was like say 10, 15 years ago, because it's far easier to just make online content and do shit that way. And, you know, you can create little sketches and just short form stuff. It now really is the time of, you know, short form things, which I guess maybe, you know, I should do that, but I have a YouTube channel that I made one video for and it's not great about me shitting the bed in Russia. But I don't know. I just always wanted to write a screenplay and tried my hand at it a few times and just never finished. And I figure now that I've lived a lot, maybe I have more stories. Maybe something's going to happen to this Germany trip. I'm going to be like, this is the story. Like, this is the story. Something's going to pique my creative spark that really hasn't been there in the last several years. You know, earlier in my life, I seem to have had like some creativity, you know, a flair for it, and then just never followed all the way through with shit. Now it's just like, I don't know, like I've had a couple of ideas for things, but not really like ones that I'm like, hell yeah, let's do that. And shit that I thought was cool, you know, 20 years ago when I was really into that shit, I'm like, meh. Like, I don't, that was a young man's thing. I'm an old man now. I like different things. Different things inspire me. But, you know, I don't know. It will I ever finish one? Probably not. But, you know, I never thought I'd learn a full song on guitar. And then I eventually finally did after, you know, well over a decade of learning guitar. But I was never in a band and shit, so it's not like I needed to play out. As not the greatest guitarist, I'll admit that. I don't know what else I was going to talk about tonight. I mean, I'm really just kind of, 4 weeks out from going back to Germany. It's starting to become more real. Starting to, you know, the way things are going, like, wasn't sure if this trip was really going to happen, you know, are, you know, the way that the U.S., the way things are going, it's not looking real, you know, great as far as, like, we don't seem to be exactly an ally of Germany anymore, as we seem to be more allies with, unfortunately, Russia, which, you know, I'm fine with the Russian people. But it's more of the Russian government that I would wish to disappear. You know, Vladimir Putin would be great if he would just fucking keel over and that, you know, the war in Ukraine would end. But unfortunately, he just seems to be just keeps on carrying on. Somehow still alive. But anyway, just me saying that here on audio, maybe that'll get me flagged for traveling abroad. I'm pretty confident, though, that I won't have any real big issues. I believe I joked last week of putting nothing but J.D. Vance memes in my pictures for my phone just to see if I would not be allowed back or what have you. But, you know, I feel pretty confident I won't have any issues. I'm pretty good about just keeping my mouth shut while going through customs and whatnot. But it's going to be a different vibe. It is going to be a totally different vibe going through security now, I think, here in the States. But you know, I probably won't notice much of a difference. I don't know. It's a weird thing now. It is weird living in a, dictatorship now, you know, I that's new to me. I, of course, traveled to Russia, you know, and experienced what, you know, people saw and how things were there. But, yeah, actually, like, living there in this whole bit, it's not great. Not great, in my opinion. I realize a lot of Americans really wanted this. They wanted to live in a... They were like, fuck democracy, and not really my thing, you know? Democracy is my thing, but, you know, I'm all for that, even if the other people are batshit crazy and feel like, you know, I really wish these motherfuckers would possibly change their mind or, you know, I don't know, get, you know, yeah. I understand how it can be to have people with opinions and you know ideas for things that really contradict with yours, and how like you wouldn't want that to win the day, especially when it means taking away people's rights. I can understand the desire to want authoritarian dictatorships, but as someone that has, you know, read a history book or two and watched a lot of documentaries on, say, the Nazis and fascism in general, being at, you know, Mussolini or what have you, or just, you know, seeing stuff on, like, Saddam Hussein, just, you know, classic dictators, I realize, you know, yeah, it's just not a way to go, man. Just not a way to go. It never ends well, really, for anybody. Sure, the people on top, basically just the one dictator, the one person really running the show completely, like, it goes well for them for most part, but usually in the end, like, it does collapse in upon itself. And the people that are underneath him, if you know, you're sucking the taint, if you're throat in their cocks, just going in balls deep with the throat, you know, you'll be good for a while, you know, you'll be set up, but it could be any reason that they decide the one true dictator, if they decide they don't like you for whatever reason, you're in prison or dead. And it's just not a great way to live, if you ask me. But, hey, you know, I kind of like being able to say whatever the fuck I can say with, sure enough, yeah, there's people that, you know, you call it cancel culture. Oh, no, it's going to get me in trouble. I mean, I'm not going to lose my fucking job. I mean, if I would go full on, like, Nazi and, like, with that shit, sure. Yeah, I might lose my job. But it's not like I'm going to be put in jail for anything I say or killed. Which, I mean, I guess somebody could kill me for what I say, but it's still illegal and they should still go to jail for it, you know? Regardless of what I said. You can't change, like, there's freedom of speech, but you can't change, you'll never be able to put a law on, like, how your speech affects someone, you know, like, how they feel from it, you know? Sure, a lot of things, you know, there's a lot of things people take offense to that, you know, maybe they shouldn't take offense to, but, anyway, I don't even know where the fuck I'm going with it. I'm just saying fucking, maybe it'll be nice just being in Germany to feel like, oh, I'm back in a actual democracy here. Although I feel like, you know, they're kind of tinkering on, or, you know, on the verge of, you know, perhaps a fascist takeover as well as the AfD, the, shall we say, from what I understand, you know, I don't know that much about the AfD. I know a little bit. The Alternative für Deutschland, I believe, is the actual name of the party. It is basically, they're basically neo-Nazis. They carry a lot of the same beliefs. Although it is, I believe, still ran, like the head of the AfD is a woman that is also a lesbian, so that seems to go against, you know, old school Nazism at least. But, you know, they're very, very anti-immigrant and very, I've heard that a lot of people that are associated with the AfD have gotten in trouble for, you know, stuff coming out that they had very overt Nazi beliefs. And it turns like, oh, shit, they're a real Nazi. And then they just kind of try to distance themselves a little bit when a lot of like, oh, shit, whoa, he said that shit out in public. Hold on. Hold on a minute. We don't want to set up the turn the gas chambers on tomorrow. But I know the last time I was there, you can't really call it a rally. There was in the Marienplatz, which is the big shopping area there in Munich, which I will be staying in Marienplatz this time, which I wasn't too far away from Marienplatz last time. I was within walking distance. But this time I am like staying like in Marienplatz. There's this big fountain that's right there in the Marienplatz, and the Hotel Daniel's like right there. I'm pretty excited. I'm really excited where the hotel is. Very excited about that. Anyway, first time I went through there, the AfD, again, can't really call it a rally. Maybe you can call it a rally. I don't feel like there was that many people there supporting the AfD, but they were basically like preaching to the crowd. They had a PA system and a microphone, and they were, I don't know if yelling, but it was loud. It sound, you know, maybe it's just because it was all in German, all in Deutsch. And it had a harsh tone. It seemed like very anti-immigrant, and I could just feel the tone. Again, I don't speak that much German. I know a few words. I can maybe order something off a menu, what have you. But I can feel tone, you know. Tone is definitely... It seemed like a harsh tone. I don't know if they were going on about immigrants. I feel like that's a good possibility that that was some of the shit that was being said. But they were definitely, I mean, it was a negative, harsh tone I was feeling. And you could tell that the crowd around was not feeling it, and like nobody wanted to go near it. It didn't seem like everybody's like, fuck yeah, AfD, yeah, yeah, das ist sehr gut, yeah. No, it was not that. It was not like that. But yeah, they're gaining ground from what I understand there. And, it's, yeah, I don't even know what to say. It's, pretty sad to see, you know, the rise of that stuff. But from what I understand, though, too, with America becoming basically a dictatorship at this point, pretty much throwing out democracy, you know, we'll see what happens next year when the midterms come up. Maybe they don't rig the elections or cancel them altogether, and that we'll somehow still have somewhat of a democracy. It's going to be interesting to see how that goes. Like, are we going to be allowed to even vote? Are they going to just rig it, just gerrymander it? How are they, you know, is Big Balls, after getting beat down, is he going to be involved in, from what I understand, Doge was, like, fucking with the voting machines. I mean, they could easily just rig this fucking election, all the elections, and all of a sudden, nope. No, only the politicians we want in are in, and it'll be just like elections there in Russia. I don't know, though. You know, maybe not. We'll see. I'd like to be somewhat optimistic, but at the end of the day, I really feel like, you know, this is fascism. We're in it. We're in a fascist country now. And once you have all the people that are willing to go along with the fascist rule, it really doesn't matter what your laws are. I mean, if you just ignore all the courts and no one's going to prosecute over it, then really there's no stopping. But yeah, back to being vacation. Yeah, that's, you know, one of the main reasons why I'm loved to be on vacation. Unfortunately, I can't just move to Germany. Though I did read what a couple months ago that, you know, apparently I could get German citizenship, and that would be pretty great to get a European Union, you know, passport and be able to just, you know, live in Germany, Ireland, or, you know, somewhere in the EU. That would be fantastic. That would be I would love that. You know, then I'd have to move Fox there, of course. But, you know, my mother does rely on me a lot. So, like, if that were to happen, I'd end up having to move her there, too. And that, you know, I don't know how I'd have any money to do this, any of this. Property value is going to have to skyrocket pretty good for me to sell this place and get enough money to, like, move to Germany. And also, I'd have to find a job there that paid pretty decent, you know, and for me able to be able to stay there. Even if I can get citizenship relatively easy, I'm still going to have to find a job, because, again, I'm not going to sell this place for enough of a profit to where I can just live off the rest of my life, much less, you know, I'll be lucky to just get enough profit to get a down payment on a place. And I would lose out on my fucking projector, man. My home theater is going to be fucking gone. I mean, I could take the projector, but I feel like that's going to down the value of this place if I have the downstairs set up for a movie theater and it doesn't have its, like, own projector. I feel like that in itself, like, if I sold this place and it's got a projector downstairs and all that, like, I feel that might up the price of it. I don't know. I feel like somebody, for the right individual, which there's plenty of people out there that love to have their own home theaters, would love to have that downstairs. I mean, I love having it down there. I don't know. I'm not really interested in selling at the moment, because also, like, where am I going to fucking buy unless I, you know, go to Germany or something. But I am pretty excited about Germany. I am quite interested to see how going to Oktoberfest is going to be. I am a little nervous about it. Not for myself, but again, I'm having my friend John with me. He's a bit of a wild card. getting him drunk there could be trouble. It could be real trouble. But well, you know, it should make for some great stories. I don't know exactly. I know that the week I leave, I'm going to record a podcast and post it up early. I'll have it probably that Thursday before going. I'll record one. And then I'm going to, I don't know that I'm going to record. I'm going to imagine I'll try to record one the week after, when I come back, but I'm going to be so fucking jet lagged. I'm going to have too much shit to do. I don't know. I might just record it that Sunday morning and drop it. Like after I get some sleep and shit, I think that'll probably be the best way to do it. I don't know. We'll see what happens. I think I can go without skipping. Like usually when I've traveled abroad, I'm like, I skip a week or two, but, I like having, you know, recording one, like right after I get back, just for the sake that I remember everything freshly and that I can, record it for posterity's sake. And this time, if there's any crimes committed, you know, I can, I got a really good, we'll see what happens though, as far as Oktoberfest goes and everything. I imagine we're just going one day. Everything at Oktoberfest, from what I understand, is very expensive. If we go multiple days, it'll get real fucking pricey, real fucking fast. But then again, I don't know, maybe it's going to be just the greatest time ever going to Oktoberfest. And we could technically, I mean, we could go there every fucking day if we wanted. it's possible we could end up there several days. And it is interesting looking at all the pictures of it and everything and realizing just how big fucking Oktoberfest is. I did recently go to, at Third Thursday, I went to the beer deck that we always go to, my daily run club. We hang out there after doing the run. And the owner there, Terry, he had mentioned that I should get a ticket for the tents, otherwise I won't get a fucking seat, and you know, they won't serve you inside the tents if you don't have a ticket. So I'm kind of feeling like maybe I should get a ticket. I thought, because I read though at places like, just there's only two of us, so I feel like it shouldn't be a problem. Looking at days, apparently, October 1st, well, it looks like the 1st might be the only day that we can have, the tickets are, oh man, they're fucking expensive. Holy shit. Yeah, they are expensive, the tickets. I feel like it's better to just go there and, holy shit. This does include, that's a lot of money. They've got packages. This is off the Oktoberfest ticketsmunich.com, which here they got Oktoberfest reservation packages. Your package includes tent reservation, Oktoberfest information guide, on-site German and English-speaking contact. That's nice. Pickup in Munich or guided host service to your table. Itinerary, help desk, and festival map. This is a lot of shit. Festival gift and curated Oktoberfest playlist, two large beers and a traditional food plate or the equivalent value in vouchers, euros per person, or VIP three-course menu and or consumption credit. Review the reservation package description for the included food and beverages in the package. That's nice. Okay, seeing that, I thought maybe it was just a reservation for the seat, but that's pretty cool. Says lunch reservation seatings can begin between 9 a.m. and 12 p.m. with a duration of 3 to 5 hours depending on the tent. You've got like the cheapest option here is a big tent package. Lunch session reserve seat in one of the 14 big tents includes two large beers and a traditional food plate or equivalent voucher, euro value, delivery in Munich or personal meet and greet. As for 200 per seat. What the fuck? What if just two? I don't know why 10 was the, there's other ones here. There's the Hocker Festzelt package, lunch session, individual reserve seat, includes two large beers and a traditional food plate or equivalent voucher, euro value. Basically the same thing, it's just a different tent. They have a Augustina. There's a Hofbräu. That's for a table, and it's over like $2,000 for a table. This is a the evening reservations are more expensive too. I feel like the evening's the more way to go though, right? 4 p.m. and 6:30. That's when seatings begin and end at closing time between 10:30 and 11 p.m. depending on the tent. But there is, do they even have an Augustiner option there? It doesn't look that, at least for this date. It does say here the big tent package explained prices for a specific large festival tent on a specific date and session can vary a lot. The big tent package was designed for the cost-conscious traveler who doesn't have a need for a specific tent during their visit. This flexibility on your part gives us the opportunity to book your reservation in one of the 14 big festival tents that represents the best tent at the best value for the date and time you select. We will notify you with the name of the tent and delivery details approximately 5 days prior to your reservation. The question is, though, should I get tickets to Oktoberfest Munich? Should I get tickets or should I do... The question, like, here's the question. Oktoberfest.de, that's their German website, it's DE. The interest to Oktoberfest is free. There is only Oide Wiesen cost admission. The nostalgic old Oktoberfest on the Oktoberfest on the south side of the venue, which is a product of the 200-year Oktoberfest anniversary celebration in 2010, separated from the main Wiesen and costs €4 to enter. That's not bad. Children up to 14-year-olds are free. Fairground rides, however, are only €1 in the Wiesn. After 9 p.m. entry is free. Oh, so if we go after 9, it's free, baby. Here's what they say about the beer tents and fairground rides. The large and small beer tents also don't charge for entry or require tickets. You also don't need a reservation to enter a tent, except when the tents are closed because of overcrowding. That can happen at the weekend from the early afternoon onwards. You pay for the rides individually and before riding them at the respective cash register. Most rides give you classic ride tokens. But there is 10 golden rules, which I know I talked about this previously on stuff. I don't remember if I read the 10 golden rules about Oktoberfest, but the 10 golden rules. Number one, backpacks and large bags are generally prohibited at the Wiesn. Not a problem. I don't think either one of us would carry a backpack in there. Leave what you don't need at the to party at home, which is what I've always done. I know if I'm drinking, don't bring a lot of shit. The quickest way to get around the Wiesn is to bring no bags or rucksacks. Number two, bags and rucksacks you bring with you may have a maximum volume of 3 liters and may not be larger than 20 centimeters by 15 centimeters by 10 centimeters. Of course, they're going to put it in centimeters, fuckers. Three, even the smallest bag must not contain gas spray cans with harmful contents, corrosive or coloring substances, or objects that can be used as cutting, thrusting, or stabbing weapons. Glass bottles are also not allowed. Four, push chairs are not permitted all day on Saturdays and public holidays. On the other Wiesn days, including October 2nd, this ban on push chairs applies from 6 p.m. However, security staff can check push chairs. Number five, bicycles, scooters, skateboards, and the like are not permitted on the festival grounds. Again, these are things we're not going to be having anyway as foreign travelers. Number six, animals are not allowed on the Wiesn at any time with the exception of assistance dogs. So I did see that the Hotel Daniel is like pet friendly. You know, so, I mean, technically I could bring Agent Fox Mulder with me. Thinking that's probably not a good idea. I won't be doing that. But couldn't take him to Oktoberfest. He'd have to stay at the hotel. Number 7, plan your journey. Use alternatives to U-Bahn 4 and 5 and U-Bahn station Theresienwiese. Anyway, if you arrive at the main station, walk to the Wiesen if necessary. If you are traveling by underground from the west, get off at Schwanthalerhöhe if possible. Also, use the U-Bahn 3 to 6 stops, Goetheplatze and Pokestrasse. Number 8, use all entrances to the Wiesen around the festival ground. You know, I'm not seeing... Yeah, that none of this really helped. Don't go. This is just basically shit. Stuff that really doesn't. We're walking there. We're not using the U-Bahn. Let's see here. How busy is it on the specific days? We'll be going on either the Tuesday or Wednesday. Yeah, I'm looking at it. Well, I was looking at tickets. It seemed like Wednesday was the day of days. This is a. Visitor numbers, the Oktoberfest barometer, the best time to visit the Oktoberfest. Over 6 million people come to the Wiesn every year. 6 fucking million. It only is like 18 or 19 days. And this is, you know, they're going to, this is a big area in Munich. But again, I mean, it's, I mean, that's just mad. Just look at the pictures. You want to know what, like, Oktoberfest Munich is like. Just looking at those pictures, like, there's a fuck ton of people there. You're probably close to 1 million a day there. I mean, that's probably not quite 1 million a day, but I mean, you're talking about hundreds of thousands of people each day. But over 6 million people come to the Wiesn every year. Although it is always quite sociable, there are times when it is a little quieter and cozier at the world's largest folk festival and days when it is particularly busy. Our Oktoberfest barometer provides an overview of visitor numbers. The Oktoberfest barometer, how busy it is on the individual days. When it's green, it's relatively relaxed and cozy on the Wiesn. Yellow means an average number of visitors, and the darker the red, the more crowded it is on the Festwiese. 2025 Oktoberfest lasts 16 days. I think it varies of like 16 to 19 days or something like that. I forgot how they figure that. It will go from September 20th to October 5th. That's the day we leave, October 5th. So we won't make it to the last day. So let's see. We are going to be there most likely Tuesday, the last day of September there, or Wednesday, the first day. Man, it's just fucking weeks away. Wednesday, the 1st of October. It does look like it is... both of those days, well, at least Tuesday, it's going to be quiet during the day and then well attended at nighttime. Now, if we wait, we want to get really fucking nuts. We wait till the Friday or like the last night we'll be there. We could, which seems like a mistake. You don't want to get fucking trashed the night before you have to get on a flight and have a hangover that day. But it's going to get very busy that day. Which actually, no. The 5th isn't when we're coming back. I apologize. The 4th. October 4th is the day we leave. So we won't even be there in Germany the last day. Basically the last 2 days. We'll leave in that Saturday in the morning, I think. And anyway, in any case... it's very like that Friday. If we wanted to get very busy, we'd have to go that Friday. But it looks like Tuesday and Wednesday are best choices. I think Tuesday, if we go, it should be seeing the barometer. Wouldn't be bad for us to not have tickets if it's we go during the day and even at nighttime. It says well attended, so it's not saying it's just insanely crowded. I'm trying to see, though, just information. It's attractions, Udevisen, whatever. There's a shop. I have planned, like I did, I think I've mentioned it several times. I was looking at, man, I'm going to buy a bunch of shit. I'm going to have to check a bag. I'm looking at this merch. I'm going to buy too much shit in Germany. I know it. I normally buy a little bit of stuff, but I feel like this trip, I mean, I'm definitely getting some Lederhosen. I imagine the day we get there, that Sunday, because there's not much, which I think we arrive actually on a Sunday. We leave on a Saturday, but we arrive on a Sunday. So we're actually only spend like 6 nights there, I guess. I imagine Monday, because Sundays there's just not as much stuff open. I imagine I'll talk to the people at the hotel, get a fucking idea of what exactly I'm going to do, you know, like what the itinerary is going to be. But I don't want to go to a place where you can get real Lederhosen like the day before going to Oktoberfest. And then that'll probably be that Tuesday or Wednesday. We'll go to Oktoberfest. We'll probably just, you know, the first 2 days, maybe take like a food and beer tour. I feel like that would probably be a good thing. Maybe a walking tour. Stuff that would probably be a good idea. Like I kind of remember my way around, you know, I think it'll be good for John to get like a lay of the land, if you will. And we'll see just how it goes from there. I should within this next week get the paint and the stencils. I imagine I'll have more to talk about Germany like the next podcast. I mean, leading up to the weeks leading up, I imagine that's just going to be more and more what the fuck I'm talking about in this show. But I will have updates hopefully next week about the painting as far as the Overlook Hotel, the Shining stuff goes in the kitchen, because I should get the stencils sometime next week during the week. I'm still working overtime and I'll be working 6 days next week. So I don't know that I'll get around to painting. I'll hopefully get the walls prepped and everything, get it ready to like start painting it. Cause I imagine it's going to take a little while, even though it's really won't be putting that much paint on. It's still a bit of an area that I got to paint, and just, not exactly looking forward to the painting part. I'm looking forward to it being done and seeing it. I want that to happen. I just want to skip over the whole painting aspect of it. But I should have some updates on that next week, and I maybe, you know, get some more ideas of exactly what I want to do with Germany. I still feel, though, that I want to wait to get, like, a concrete view, and I'll just probably get tickets for tours and stuff while there. I don't foresee doing a whole lot of stuff as far as the planning goes. I have ideas I wanted to go to, like Zugspitze. I think it's Zugspitz, from what I understand. I don't know. It's pronounced something of that nature. The tallest mountain in Germany, in Deutschland. I want to go there. They take a cable car to the top. So I imagine we'll be doing a tour of that. You know, maybe we'll go to Neuschwanstein Castle. We'll see. We'll just kind of play it by ear once we get there. Go get... I feel like the first 2 days... That's when we're going to like really get an idea, just take a, just kind of a tour of in the Munich city and get an idea of what we want to do on each day, what have you, but leave room because, you know, we're going to be meeting a lot of fucking people. There are 6 million people that go to Oktoberfest, and even without going to Oktoberfest, we're going to meet people because we do a fucking food and beer tour. We're going to be meeting people there on those tours, and you never know where the adventure can take you. And I want to be, that is the failure I've had in other trips, that I've met really cool people. And, you know, I met some women that I really liked. And then I just failed to, I was like, you know what? I've got this other thing I'm going to. I'm doing a marathon tomorrow and see ya. And I don't bother to learn like full names or like get contact information. And I'm just terrible at that. I'm, you know, and I feel like this trip is just going to be just see where it takes us. You know, there's got to be, I don't know. This could be really awesome. I don't think it, I mean, I have had food poisoning and shit the bed in Russia. It hopefully won't be that bad, you know, but I've experienced bad trips. Only had one really bad trip. I've been to Europe 6 times. Only one trip was like awful. I feel like, you know, I know what's going to happen, and you know, I don't know. I'm going to have fun. I'm pretty sure I'm going to have fun. So stay tuned. As for now, that's pretty much all I've got. So as always, that is a kid in a wheelchair, not a trash can.